All right, guys. So it's time for our snake draft of the week. And
aloha.
Aloha.
And aloha, Em.
Aloha. So we have not
at
my house gotten any food in the past week since I went to the grocery store last, which was on Sunday. And so my fridge is like it was what I showed you yesterday, just less and less things in it. But we got talking about what is a fridge staple? What is something that's always in your fridge?
Gotta have it.
And you know, your fridge is not complete without it. All right, so we're in a draft. This is the order: Emily, Jorge, Alan, Travis, and we're each picking 3, 12 total. That's all that can fit in the graphic, right, Parker? Great. All right, so I'm up first. And
what a shock!
I know, right? I have not been first.
She hasn't been first
in a long time.
I haven't been first since 2019.
Since 2000.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go with something that is literally always in my fridge. Even right now, it's in my fridge, even though I don't have gas to cook this with. But I think it's such a versatile ingredient. I think it goes with almost everything. Well, not almost everything, but like I can use it in multiple different meals. And I'm going to go with eggs. Eggs is my number one off the board for fridge staples.
It's my number one draft pick.
Oh, that's why I picked number one overall. Let's go, eggs.
I think it's everybody.
Yeah.
You got to have eggs in your fridge.
All right. Well, Jorge, you're next off your fridge staples.
Okay, so I have to go with milk.
Okay, what kind of milk?
Whole milk. Yeah, it's whole milk. Like whole milk, like the red cap milk.
Ooh.
Yeah,
whole milk. Regular whole milk.
Aggressive.
Yeah. Why?
It's great in coffee, honestly.
No, let me tell you something.
Whole
so
milk.
If you're
the pancakes?
I'm going
to
try to set
cold
you up here
fluffy?
With a Middle Eastern family here for a quick second.
Uh-huh.
If you don't have whole milk in your fridge, you know, now they're saying you've basically ruined the milk. I don't have whole milk in my fridge. I don't. I usually use almond milk as the milk that I typically use. Okay?
Almond milk is gross.
Not having whole milk in there is like a crime.
Where's the udder on the almond? It's just nut water.
You got to really find it. You got to really find it.
All right. Al, you're good.
Okay, wait, can we stop on whole milk for a second? So when I was a kid, that's all we had in the house, too.
Well, that's what they told you
that
to
was
have.
It. The red cap milk. And I didn't know any better, right? And so you'd go over to a friend's house or whatever, and they'd have skim milk or 2% or whatever. Yeah. And it tasted like milk that had been filled with 90% water.
Yeah,
it
watered down milk.
That's the only milk I can drink now. Like, even a spoonful of real milk feels like you're eating butter almost.
Okay,
it's just
the last time
so
you had, like,
crazy.
A glass of milk. I don't drink milk by itself.
Occasionally, if I'm doing PB&J or cookies.
Yeah, PB&J.
Yeah, cookies.
So dessert.
So for all my Mexican friends out there, milk for your conflace. That's what we call cereal, conflace. Just no matter what kind of cereal it is, just conflace.
So Fruit Loops or cornflakes?
We just
love it.
Our moms always call it conflace. That's it.
All right, so Al, you're going to do almond milk?
No. My staple, eggs would have been my initial staple.
Sure.
Which is why I was number one overall.
Always have bread. Always.
In the fridge?
Yeah, in the fridge. Always.
Why?
It won't spoil as quick. And I'm using bread at least once or twice a day. So whether I'm making a sandwich, whether I'm making a PB&J, if I'm making eggs, and it's any kind of bread. I could have tortillas in there. I like that Dave's Killer Bread, whatever that bread is.
With the seeds?
With the
Do
seeds.
Do you guys all keep your bread in the fridge?
I don't.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Pita bread.
I'll
Every
let people
kind of
have
bread.
Their way of this on Twitter. I'm allowing you to put this on the thing, but I feel like bread is not a fridge.
So I was told.
First, it's my refrigerator. That's number one.
But this is my draft.
So if I want bread in my fridge, it's going in my refrigerator. But bread is a staple that's always in the fridge.
So Jet Tila, who's on every Cooking Network show that there is, he's a TV famous celebrity chef,
got
Thai
him on
chef.
Instagram too.
Yeah, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. He told me from his own lips to me directly, bread belongs in two places, either in the pantry or whatever, or in the freezer. Because bread actually freezes really well. That when you put it in the toaster,
too. If you get like
it's
two
good.
Of the bundles, put one in
but
the freezer.
But I asked him about the bread in the refrigerator thing. He goes, "Why? You just want to ruin it?" Like that was his whole thing. Like it takes away the freshness, but it doesn't preserve it like the way it would if you froze it.
Okay, I'll tell you, if it's like the first 2 days, it's outside. After that, I feel
All right,
like
so. Your first off the board is bread. Okay, great.
So I'm getting two here, and I'm I'm happy with both of them. Eggs would have been my first pick. I think eggs was LeBron James. That was coming off the board first.
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Butter. Because you need butter for a lot of different things, right? To cook with, to flavor, to all of these different things. If you don't have butter, you're in a weird spot to cook other things.
Okay. Can I get specific with you?
Sure.
What kind of butter do you get? Do you have spreadable and stick butter? Do you only have stick butter?
Stick butter. Okay. And if I need spreadable butter, I can leave it out and it will get soft.
Do you have one of those like butter dishes?
No.
Okay.
No, but you know it's a great little hack? Okay, since we're talking about this. If you take a glass jar, right, that's empty, and fill it halfway with water, put it in the microwave, get the water really hot, dump out the water, and then put the jar over the stick of butter, it turns it soft almost instantly.
Yeah, it's
pretty great. It's a pretty good way to do it. Second choice, beer. Beer.
Why did you take the two things that I was going to take?
Because I know what I'm doing.
You took eggs.
Yeah, butter and beer.
I don't even want the first book anymore. Gosh.
Those were your second and thirds?
Yes. Good. I was gonna be more specific than yours. I was going to say Kerrygold butter. I always have Kerrygold butter because I know it's hella expensive, but I really like it.
It's delicious.
It, and it's like I'm willing to pay a little bit more. And then beer, obviously, Coors Banquet.
Yeah.
Because mine is full of it.
I think I've told this story before. And Bobby was at school. I went to go visit him up in Eugene, and his fridge was empty. I'm like, you want me to take you to the store? We can get some stuff, and you're good to go. And he's like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. So we go to Trader Joe's. And he's throwing all this stuff in the car. I'm like, it's fine, whatever. And I see him throw this not like a stick, like a double stick of this very expensive French butter into the cart.
Yeah, $16.
And I'm like, hey, do you just need butter? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, just take a look at what that butter costs relative to what that butter costs. He's like, is there a difference? I said, there is.
One.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to buy both types of butter so you understand that there's a thing to... It was the best thing I've ever eaten in my life.
Mm. Butter from Trader Joe's is great.
It was wonderful. So
right,
there are multiple
butters. Your two picks. Bread, butter, and beer have been the last three picks. Al, what's your second?
Cold cuts. I got to have... You know how we talk about how eggs are used in so many different ways? Cold cuts, too. It's like, even if I'm making eggs, there's cold cuts that make they find their way into my sandwich.
So which ones do you get?
There are three correct answers.
And you're not going to pick this one, but it's I always pick. It's a leaner meat. I'm always getting turkey cold cuts.
No, you
got Gabagool?
100%.
The other one that I get,
that's one of the three correct answers.
The Black Forest ham.
That's the second correct answer.
The other one.
See if you can go three for three.
Those are only two I get. So
okay.
Unless what
get a little salami in there.
Yeah, you can do salami.
Yeah.
Honestly, those are three staples, but three you need, and then you can go up if you want something specific.
But if you have ham, turkey, and salami, you're in a pretty good spot.
So those are the ones always making the. They're always in the.
Yeah.
Prosciutto's a little too fatty for me, honestly, sometimes.
It can be too salty too.
Yeah. All right, Jorge, your second pick.
Cold cuts. What is that? Just ham in general.
Ham, turkey, deli meats.
Deli meats. Yeah.
Okay. So the eggs are taken, the butter's taken. I'm gonna what else do we got?
About to do the whole chick herm right there.
And the Jell-O's chicken.
You hadn't picked the Jell-O yet.
No, I'm going with yogurt. Yeah, we have yogurt all the time. It's we have the big tub and the
Emily's sound effects.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, dairy. Okay.
I like yogurt.
Yeah, I'm a dairy kind of person. I like yogurt. Plain.
But
yogurt.
If I never had another bite of yogurt for the rest of my life, I'd also be okay. Like if you brought a thing of yogurt and said, "You want this?" Sure, I'll eat that. If you said, "Hey, Trav, I got bad news. Yogurt doesn't exist anymore." I'm like, "Yeah, that's fine too."
Okay,
Michelle makes yogurt bowls.
Oh, those are
with
good.
The milk and does she use the milk out?
So she's using
fruit, granola,
she's using the yogurt.
Honey.
Like Aussie bowls with,
bro. Those are
terrific.
Oh, no, they're good.
Those are good.
Brandon,
you got the blueberries
oats
in there. You got the raspberries in there.
Okay, sure.
Make sure you put honey in there.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever granola that you used, you can cut up some bananas, strawberries.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's a badass meal.
Yeah. So, by the way, that the yogurt doesn't exist is actually a plot line of Everything Everywhere All at Once. In one of the worlds, cows no longer exist, and so you don't have any dairy.
Kay.
All right. So my next pick. I'm going to do cheese in any form. Sliced cheese, cut up cheese, all different types of cheese. I need cheese. Cheese sticks. Cheese is my next one, and so I'm going to take that. And then, I'm going to go with sparkling water. a version of sparkling water, whether it's, I don't know, like a bubbly or a Perrier or
I always have sparkling water.
So do we.
My two are cheese and sparkling water.
Do you go to Costco? You get the Kirkland one?
I don't like that.
The lime, the lemon, and the
grapefruit?
Susan
buys that, and every time I'm disappointed in her. It's fine. It's like the 14th best choice you can. It's fine. It'll do the trick, but
it's also probably the most cost effective.
Oh, you can get 700 cans for $1.74.
Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Jorge, your last pick. Is it another dairy item?
Nah, maybe. Who cares? It's my fridge, fool. Leave me alone.
Ice cream.
Jeez. Yeah, Rocky Road ice cream.
I've never heard of somebody who has more of an opinion on your fridge.
Man. Or yours with the bread. Anyway, I'm going with the burrito size tortillas.
Oh, like those are
those big, flour tortillas.
Yeah.
I got to have those because when I have eggs and chorizo, make an egg and chorizo, you know.
That sounds good.
Burrito or whatever, yeah. So I'll take tortillas. And by the way, do you keep them? You keep your tortillas in the fridge or you keep them outside? In the
pantry for me.
Listen, growing up, everything was in the fridge. I think the only thing not in the fridge was our socks. Everything else was in the fridge.
Pasta in the fridge?
Literally,
like
condiments,
pasta?
All the condiments, everything. Hot
all
sauce,
the sauces
ketchup,
on the side of the door, right?
Everything.
The door.
Yeah. Everything was in the fridge.
Allie,
okay,
last pick.
Final one for me. Fruit. Cold fruit. So if I go, I actually started doing this more recent. Buy a full pineapple. Cut it all up, put it in there. Watermelons. Probably my favorite fruit. Grapes.
Those are the two
best
fruits.
I can send you a video how to cut a watermelon.
Grapes, any of that. I love cold fruit. There's certain fruit I like that sits out, but for the most part, fruit's always a staple in my fridge.
All right, last one, Trev.
Got a couple of ways I could go with this.
Okay.
Here's what I'm not going to take. You mentioned a second ago. I could fund a restaurant with what I have in my refrigerator here. I have 10 bottles of hot sauce in my fridge, okay. and I love it. And because it, whatever you're making, you add that to
hot
it.
Hot sauce
is
amazing.
It's better.
Yeah.
It's instantly better. But I don't have a staple in my fridge right now. I have beer, butter, and I need one other thing. Just ground beef. Just ground beef because I can do a million different things with the ground beef. I can make burgers. I could do spaghetti. I could do chili. I could do
million tacos if you're white people tacos.
White people tacos for sure. Yes, for sure. So give me the ground beef.
All right. I think it's so funny to me looking at this list of things. It's almost just ridiculous that we're drafting this, but I love it. And I'm going to put all of
your
these things in my fridge.
Your
besides
fridge
the bread.
Was the influence.
I was going to take cheese draft. Just to make it all dairy, but you took cheese.
Oh, no.
Oaxaca. Queso Oaxaca for the quesadillas. Try it.
Is the Oaxaca the one that doesn't melt?
It comes in a ball. It does melt.
What's the Mexican cheese that doesn't melt?
Oh, panela.
Panela.
Yeah.
It like gets oilier. You heat it up,
it's
but it never really melts.
It's the one we get our guisados on the
quesadillas. Yeah, that's pretty
that's
good.
But you put it on the grill for a little bit. Let it get that little crust.
A little crust?
Oh, bro.
That's good.
Yeah, sounds pretty good.
It is a Ticket Thursday on 710 ESPN. Keep listening all day long for your cue to call. And when you hear it, you're going to want to be caller number 7 at 877-710-ESPN. And you will win two of the hottest tickets in town Sunday night at the Kia Forum. Netflix is a Joke presents the greatest roast of all time, Tom Brady. Your chance to win all Ticket Thursday on 710 ESPN. Lakers need a new coach eventually, today, tomorrow, this weekend. What type of coach are we looking for? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Clinton Yates in the house. Excuse me. Television's Clinton Yates.
Thank you, sir.
The Daily's Clinton Yates.
Thank you. Even better. I appreciate that, Travis. You like that? Thank you. John Ireland told me he liked the show the other day. That was a
He told us that
made my weekend, he by the way. That. So appreciate that, guy.
Yeah, he told us he liked you, not us.
Yes.
How we doing today, boys?
Good.
I heard you guys talking about something earlier in the day. And let me ask you guys, this thing that I'm about to pull out of my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Does this meet the wallet
qualifiers?
See, to me, a wallet is a thing that folds. That's what it is. So, like, the thing I use is leather. It has slots for cards and cash.
I think.
But it doesn't fold.
By definition.
Is that a wallet sleeve?
I think this is a wallet. However, the one Greg showed us, his wallet, like you're talking about folding over, I'm more referring to, I see that a lot less. Like, I don't want that. If you said I have to have a wallet and I had this, I'd much rather want this.
That's a wallet's cousin. They're in the same family, but it's not a wallet.
Right. If it doesn't fold or open for me, it's not a wallet.
Can I see it?
Yeah, sure.
Is there
there's a slot.
Is there a spot for cash? It's like specifically. Okay.
Yeah, I got a 20 right here.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? There's slots for cash. There's slots for cards. There's a display slot for your ID.
Okay, so you don't call
that
a wallet.
It's like the G League of wallets.
No, I don't call it a wallet, but I also wouldn't be offended if somebody did. I don't, like, define myself by lack of walletry, but I don't know what this is defined as is what I'm getting at. So,
I mean, because when I was a kid, we'd call it a coin purse because it would zip. I think if it zips, it's a coin purse.
This is how you're a grown man operating like that? This is like camp counselor stuff. This is what I used to put in my swim trunks just to kind of make sure I didn't totally lose everything.
What's wrong? Like, I got my cash, I got my credit card, and my driver's license, a couple other things.
Because you're a grown man.
The other threat there
is better. Mine are just loose.
The elastic could also fly off and pop you in the face. That's my main concern with loose elastic.
It has happened. I'm not going to pretend it hasn't. But I keep every time I go to the grocery store and I buy broccoli or asparagus,
boom,
I get a new wallet.
That's amazing. That is a level of risk I'm not willing to take.
Yeah, that's fine.
I feel like that's not going to fly in an airport if something goes wrong. They'll be like, oh you're the guy with the rubber band wallet. You're coming with us.
Like at a ball game or something, or an airport when you got to go through the metal detector, you got to throw your stuff in the little bowl.
Yeah.
It has not gone uncommented on every time. It gets brought up
That's
occasionally.
Funny. That is funny.
A reminder to make your vote count for the biggest night of the year for 710 ESPN, Mandy's 3. Go to ESPNLA.com, click on the Mandy's 3 voting page, and that logo right there is presented by the Law Offices of Joseph S. Norman. Injury attorneys, you can trust 213-747-2000. Vote right now at ESPNLA.com.
Did you guys watch the B delay game? Like, were you watching that live?
Yes, I didn't watch all 2 hours of it.
Let me explain something to you.
Why that are you going into my rabbit hole right now?
That was the It was the best 90 minutes of television I've seen on Sportsnet all year. It was super funny. They just opened up the cameras and the mics and let the dudes just talk about what was happening in front of them. And at one point, Slee,
it's entertaining.
The guy comes over in the cherry picker, and I wish I knew who was on the actual telecast. And he goes, that can't be the beekeeper. He's like, there's just no way. He's like, there's no way that guy is the beekeeper. And whoever else is on it goes,
what
no,
is a beekeeper supposed to look like?
He's just the guy driving the truck. And they were right.
He was the guy driving the scissor lift over.
And we had gotten so deep into this that we were analyzing who was capable of handling bees at that point on the telecast. It was hilarious.
Okay. Now, I'm not suggesting that every major league ballpark, we got 30 ballparks, right? Nobody
have a beekeeper on hand?
You don't need a staff beekeeper. I understand. But it's not like it never happens. It happens once every other year.
So what would you have, a divisional beekeeper? Would you have a...
You have a team beekeeper that's on call. They can get there a little bit sooner than the 2 hours it took to get that guy there.
I think what I would do is I'd have a utility player, meaning I've got a beekeeper that does other things. You know what I'm saying?
Like those emergency goalies in hockey?
Yes. If needed, you can beekeep. But in the meantime, you're the groundskeeper.
Oh, I thought you meant a hybrid role. Like, for instance, let's use Kike Hernandez as the example. That Kike, we know you can play three infield positions. We know you can play center. You can play
light
all three
against lefties. But
this offseason, I'm going to need you to go to beekeeping school.
No, I'd go a step further. I would
that
find.
That would be awesome.
I would
some
find,
guy comes out of the dugout. Yeah.
I'd find the player that's not delivering. I'd look at a guy like Lux or Chris Taylor and say, just so you guys know.
Lux would miss the bees.
Hey,
it's still there. We're DFAing you to beekeeper school.
It's
that's
still
where you're
there.
Going. You're not going to Oklahoma
Fine,
City.
Just, we'll have Mookie do it. You just slide Mookie over to the beekeeper role.
Anyway, Dontrell Willis said on his Twitter feed, he said, if this is me, my beekeeper rate has just quadrupled instantly. That's the move right there.
I'd want to do it just to wear the little beekeeper mask. That thing's pretty
baller. Mask is pretty sweet. That guy had a day and a half, man. He whipped that thing off.
You see where he got a baseball card?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool guy.
So his life changed.
Completely.
Look, I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player for a variety of reasons.
Sure.
A variety of, A, I love baseball. B, getting your own baseball card was in the top three reasons you wanted to be a baseball player, right?
Absolutely.
For sure. And then had I known there was a route to become a beekeeper and get there, I might have chose differently.
Let me ask you, you go to a lot of youth baseball games. If you're at a game and your bro, the dad bro who you've bonded with, says, "Hey man, Trav, I gotta go. Can you take my kid? What's happening? Bro, you won't believe this, but they just called me at Chase Field to go scoop some bees." Are you saying I'm going with you? Yeah, are you saying I'm going with you? Or what happens there? Because I feel that's a buddy cop trip I'm taking.
It's a question that's asked. Do you need any help? I'll get Susan down here. She'll take the boys home.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll beekeep at Chase Field. Sign me up.
Imagine they give that guy a couple of beers and a dog after
sure.
he did it. Yeah.
I think I remember this happened when I was telling you this.
Kennedy Rec Center?
Might have been in high school or something like that. Padres had a game at Qualcomm Stadium. It got delayed for the same thing.
It happens.
They had a bad swarm. Yeah. And it was like these bees were everywhere. Like it wasn't, you know, they're all, sometimes they'll just stay.
Well, they go everywhere because people freak the blank
people
out.
Start going
and
crazy.
They start, like you were saying the other day, start swatting at them so the hive goes nuts. Yeah. If you just let the queen set up shop, they'll all go to her and then you can scoop them up like the Diamondbacks did. But if you're out there waving at them with your Padres hat or whatever it is, trying to kill the guy that's trying to land on your Sundae,
that's not good.
That's when all hell breaks
my
loose.
My Tony Gwynn signed bat is not getting the job done.
Yeah,
that's,
by the way,
Qualcomm.
It's a good batting bat. So small barrel, small target.
That's the one you want, you know. That's great.
What brings you by?
Did TV today.
Okay.
Got to record some stuff. I'm trying to think of what we recorded today. I did an interview about Deion Sanders, who's still going crazy up at Colorado.
What's your take
on that?
Don't love it. I think there's a larger issue at play here that Deion is kind of representing a generation as much as he's representing other people. Guys get clowned and blown out of college football programs every day of every week of every year in college football. Does it happen on reality shows? Not really. Does it happen all the time behind closed doors? Certainly. I think the larger issue here is coaches in college who don't understand this Gen Z generation is just different, bro. You can't just be out here wrecking lives and expecting other players to want to come play for you. It's not like that anymore.
Forget the athletes for a quick second. Forget that generation for a quick second. I think it's a bad look, period. There's nothing that I read, those stories, followed it all on Twitter, X, whatever. Nothing that made me feel like this is a good look for Deion, a good look for the family. It just didn't look good. That's just my own personal opinion. And you could say, oh, you're being soft. I don't care what you say.
It's not being soft is what I mean.
Yeah, I don't love it.
It's not a good look.
If his team likes it, though, to some degree, meaning we're the ones who made it, but I don't know if that's even real. Like I said, because the Gen Z thing, I don't know that people like that.
I know Deion doesn't care. And I know that it's not going to change. So I'm not saying what I'm about to say in an effort to try to educate or anything like this. It was bullying. Yeah. What happened yesterday was straight bullying. It was a powerful person picking on somebody that was weaker.
I agree with you.
And it was gross.
I can buy that.
It was. I'm in a position of power. I got a lot of money. I got a talented kid, all of these things. And some kid's just trying to play football at a lower level place, and you're kicking him in the head. It's bullying, and it was garbage.
Keeping it to football, though, I think that there is an element, and this is sort of a different level here, but I think you might be right on that. I wonder where that comes from in the sense of, does Deion know that he's outmatching the Big 12 next year? Is there a real football sense that, like, okay, first year, 4 wins, a little excitement, still the Pac-12 on the way out. If you go out and get popped by 40 6 times in a row in the Big 12, you're looking at a totally different situation. And I think some of that pressure might actually be getting to them as a program.
I don't think it has to do with that. I think that's who he is. I think that is.
And I like Deion. I'm a fan of Deion Sanders, but I thought that was garbage.
But there was something about, you know, last year, and I get it. This is part of football. This is part of competition. This is part of the social media, the attention that they were getting last year. There was this, I'm coming to Colorado. None of you guys are going to have a spot here because you're just not good enough. And a lot of that was for social, and a lot of that did kind of translate that way. I understand that. It's competition. That's what the
sport
is.
And he's trying to build culture at that point. He's trying to build a program. He's trying to set a standard.
Sounds
this
good.
Was
There's
just picking on a weak kid.
I don't disagree, but I do think there is an element of, like, I think his attitude week in, week out next year is going to be far different than we think, because they're going to be completely in a different situation. He's not going to have the same honeymoon period.
The whole thing last year, when you kind of looking back at it, Nebraska sucked. TCU wasn't very good. They were good at the exact right time of the season. It's the beginning of the season. Nothing else matters yet. The second they got into the Pac-12 play, they were bad.
Bro, they swept those first 3-4 weeks. I didn't see more attention towards a program.
No, I was there half the time. Trust me. I was one of the humans giving the attention. It was a fun time. But I do think there is a world that people don't realize, in which there's a possibility in which he might be a little bit outmatched. And his behaviors might change a little bit based on not just what we know of him, but what's in front of him from a talent standpoint.
Do you keep bread in the refrigerator?
No.
He does not.
But I also don't. I keep things in the refrigerator oftentimes more so just to keep them cold, as opposed to for the stayability process. Meaning, if I want my bread to be cold, I'll stick it in the fridge. You know what I stick in the fridge? Candy bars. Because I like them cold, not because I need to keep them longer.
Take me through the situation where a slice of cold bread is the preferred choice.
Summertime, peanut butter jelly sandwiches, giving them to the kids after summer camp. We used to stick bread
cold
in the fridge.
Bread.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it was refreshing.
I don't think.
I'm dead serious.
But isn't the bread a little harder in this situation?
It depends. But, like, if you put this, I don't store the bread in the fridge, but you make the sandwiches, then you stick the sandwiches in the fridge, and then when you serve them.
That's a little different.
I think now I got to talk to my mom about this.
We got to talk the bread
setup. Putting the bread in the fridge. I don't think that was I don't think that was ever for anything other than it lasted longer. That's the only reason
to preserve the freshness.
It.
Yeah,
I would say the main reason.
Not even the freshness, literally to preserve the bread, because I think they weren't. If they wanted it fresh and it was about taste, then you kept it out.
But you had
outside
five people in your family, right? Five people in your house as a kid. Your mom, dad, and you and your two sisters.
Yep.
Loaf of bread couldn't have lasted a super long time. It's not like it's going to spoil.
Yeah, but you were buying multiple loaves. You were buying multiple packs of pita bread. You were buying it in bulk.
I also feel like loaves of bread, like the fridge is high traffic. You know, I don't need something as delicate as a loaf of bread in the fridge that can get crushed by something else. It takes a lot of space. You know, unless it's in a box, you're going to
crush it. You got to put on the
eggs.
Yeah, I got Fon Bimbo. I got the Dave's. I got three different kinds of bread, too.
Isn't there like the bread drawer? Not the bread drawer, but like what's that thing?
The bread box.
Bread box, yeah.
The bread basket is what it is, and that's not in the fridge.
Bread, and it's out of the fridge.
Last one before
I get out of here.
Before you get out of here. How many cans of beer are in your refrigerator right now?
Less than six, as I cracked a six-pack last time.
I have zero right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
If I set the over-under at 19.
So I know this number, which is why I'm laughing out loud. I walked into the studio, and M says, I've got 28 Coors Banquets in my fridge. I said, what is this?
There were more that weren't in the fridge?
Oh, no, 26. Maybe
whatever the number was. Yeah. I was like,
because the picture she showed us yesterday, there were 19 Yellow Jackets in her refrigerator.
I'm like, are you living in an episode of Cobra Kai? Why do you have this many Coors Banquets in your fridge like Johnny?
It was terrific.
That's great. I live a great life, guys. That's why.
She sent a picture of what opened up. She enjoyed a nice Wednesday night with the Coors Banquet beer.
By the way, are these this Tito's bottle, is that?
We're not sure.
We haven't figured it out yet. Okay. I think it's
We're
caps.
Not sure.
I know that look on your face. Very well. Yeah. I'll see you guys later.
Rabbit Hole's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Nothing can go wrong, especially for Rafi Kazarian from Pasadena, who was caller number 7 when they heard the cue to call. And they are going to see the greatest roast of all time for the Netflix as a Joke Festival this Sunday at the Kia Forum. So keep listening for your chance to win tickets on this Ticket Thursday on 710 ESPN. So now it is time for Rabbit Hole. And Rabbit Hole is where we talk about whatever internet story has really been obsessing us over the past couple of days. So Al, why don't you start us off?
All right, start off. You know, I was going to do the beehive thing. We already did that. So that's another rabbit hole. I'm going to do the one that I just told you, because it seems like every spot there's somebody out there who was doing a hack of, if you go to Whole Foods and you go, let's say you go to the hot bar and there's certain items to get because it's cheaper, don't get this item there. I'm going to do one, and I know there'll be a few people that won't like this one. That's fine. Chipotle. He had a hack for Chipotle. Basically what he's saying is don't get a burrito. He's like, you got to get a bowl. when you get a bowl, this is to get the most value as you can from a place like Chipotle. And he'll do this for every fast food place, whatever the case is.
I mean, most value is probably not going, but...
Keep going, Al.
She's got her passion. She's got her passion. So get a bowl. He's like, get half white rice, half brown rice, because now you're going to probably get more than just one spoonful. Mm. He said, get two proteins. Say, I want 50% chicken protein, 50% steak, whatever it is.
Barbacoa.
Now you're probably going to get more because they're just naturally, they're scooping and pouring. What else did he say? He said, get the tortilla on the side.
I've heard that
and
one.
Make the burrito, yeah.
So he kind of like goes through this whole thing. I know it's a lot of work. But his point is you're going to get probably double the amount of – he's like, get all the salsas. Don't tell me, do I want this salsa? I want every salsa. Get that corn that comes with
it. I love
that
corn.
Get the sour cream. Get all that stuff that you get. And then when he sat down to eat it, this thing was like a mountain of food. He's like, you're probably getting X percentage amount more by doing it this
all
way.
All in one bowl?
All in one bowl.
Okay. They got that little trough thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you get the tortilla, and then you can have the one part of it. You can make it into a burrito. The other part you can have for the burrito bowl the next day.
You're not going there.
So Greg told me.
I have in the past when it used to be good.
Greg told me that you can go and ask for a double wrap burrito. So two tortillas, okay. And then you could ask for cheese in between both of them. So when they put them in the
burrito, it's like glue.
So it's like, yeah, you get a little layer of cheese, and then you put the rest on. And
but this dude literally was just going to different places and saying, here's how I can get you the most value of where you're going to go eat. It's interesting.
A lot of work.
Yeah.
Basically, you're working for the company at that point. Jorge?
No, you're trying to get as much value.
No,
for
no, I understand what you're doing.
Okay, so mine is, it's actually pretty funny. It's this guy who dresses like a bronze statue. He's outside in a little plaza in Arizona somewhere, whatever.
I think you and I watched the same videos.
He's like a cowboy, dressed like a cowboy. He's all covered up, and he just sits there, right?
Yep. Oh, I know that guy.
Kids come up to him, and they say they want to take a picture, tourists, whatever.
Everybody
pop up.
It looks like it's a, hey, this is cool. Let me go take a picture next to it.
And then, you know, he'll pop up, or he'll just move, or scratch his head, or fix his hat,
and
whatever
they lose it.
And they'll lose it. And it's just reaction after reaction after reaction. That led me to another guy who dresses like a bush. And he's, outside of the store.
Bushman prank.
And then he'll just pop up. And
Bushman prank. Can you imagine that happened to Travis?
He punched him in the head.
Remember when we tried to set up the Marco?
I honestly think I would have a heart attack.
That's awesome.
I really do.
He has no idea. That's pretty funny.
So we told the Marco that you love pranks.
DeMarco was here. It was April Fool's. I think it was April 1st that he was in.
Okay.
And we just kept telling him, we're like, you know who loves pranks? He's like, who? I'm like, Travis loves them. He's like, really? I would have never thought of that. I'm like, DeMarco, he loves them. Do them whatever you want. This guy was walking away thinking that you love pranks.
Did you ever tip him off?
Okay, Al spilled the beans. Okay. I was going to be. This is really
fun. She wanted to like hold it to September 15th when it's Rams. Whatever, and DeMarco would just pull some type of prank.
It would have been great.
No, because it would have been the end of my relationship with DeMarco Farr, and I like DeMarco a lot. I want to remain friends with him.
Why did my Rotolo
me?
Get towed at SoFi? Well, DeMarco.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
All right. Jeff, what's yours?
So I was reading Jeff Passan's piece this morning. He does his 10 things, he does a weekly thing, and it's the 10 things he's learned for the week, and it's always fascinating. But one of them was on umpires. And it was since they started tracking balls and strikes with the robo-ump, basically, over the last, I think it's like 12 or 13 years, human umpires in the major leagues, they've gotten better every year. That the technology has actually improved human umpiring because they're able to kind of get a better sense of what is and what isn't. And it went from, 15 years ago that they would get about 88% of their calls right to they're at about 94% now, which is a significant improvement. Now, it means they're still missing 6% of the ones. Unless you're Angel Hernandez, who this is where the rabbit hole comes in. So I clicked on this thing, which takes you to another umpiring account, which takes you to Angel Hernandez recently.
Oh, yeah, I'm interested.
Had what is considered the worst strikeout of the season. He rang up a guy on three pitches,
balls.
All three of them out of the strike zone, one of which was nearly 7 inches off the plate. What? By nearly a half a foot, he banged a guy out
on it.
The
best, if I'm right, if it's the right one, the broadcasters were not even like, you know how sometimes you get upset at things? None of them were upset. They're like, no, it's Angel Hernandez. This is what he does.
It might as well happen.
It is understood from the players, the managers.
That's unbelievable.
The broadcasters. Everybody involved in baseball, that Angel Hernandez is incompetent. Mm-hmm. He is an incompetent major league umpire. He might be a nice guy.
Is the union just that strong?
Yes. Yes. And he is irremovable.
He's already sued the MLB. He's already sued
MLB. Yeah, because he wasn't getting playoff assignments or something like that. He's incompetent, and he's out there doing work every day. And I've kind of come and done a 180 on this. It used to be like, you got to get that. Now I want him to umpire every big game because
forever,
it is just the most wild of wild cards that you have somebody back there that doesn't know what they're doing. And I want more of it.
All right.
What about you?
So my rabbit hole is, so I don't know. I've talked about this slightly, but I used to be a huge theater kid.
A huge what?
Theater kid.
Okay.
And I used to love musicals. I used to love Legally Blonde, the musical. It kind of like became big right at the time where I was like really interested in culture. And it was on MTV all the time. Okay, so it's a semi-famous Broadway musical based off of the movie Legally Blonde. So they have now introduced this to Legally Blonde Junior, where middle schoolers, high schoolers will do Legally Blonde. And so it sounds crazy. So SNL actually did a skit about it a couple years ago with A.D. Bryan, Cecily Strong, and then they did a skit basically where the kids were like, this is going to be the best show ever. This is the first time they see it.
They
ruined Legally Blonde. So this has become back into my sides of the universe because there has been a new quote-unquote salesperson introduced to this role. So just for clarification, the salesperson comes in and is like, hey, Elle, I'm going to take care of you. And it's usually someone that's trying to go way over the top. Okay, so this is typically what this role sounds like. I may be in love, but I'm not stupid, lady. This is Elle.
Oh, my God! Elle Wood, sorry, our mistake.
This is the salesperson. Basically, it's someone really, really going over the top, really extra, okay? So this specific child, this British child doing that salesperson job has been going viral. So this is the other child.
Lady, eyes. Oh my God, Elle was sorry, our mistake. Courtney, take your break. Try this. Places from that. Go on, try this on. I take care of my best clientele. It's a gift from me to
this kid is giving us nothing. It's basically just being flat. So the internet, and especially the theater community, is divided on whether it's genius or whether it's bad. Okay, so it's genius because she's actually representing what most salespeople are like, which is like, when you're dealing with a difficult client, all right, here it is, get out of here, I'll go take your break. It's basically a monotone. And other people are, you know, saying she's just giving nothing. And then actual, real Broadway actors are lip-syncing to this kid's performance of the salesperson. And so I don't even know this kid knows that she's going viral.
How old is that kid?
Like probably 10, 12.
Oh, jeez.
So congrats, kid. But this has been Minds of the Internet. Is this the lazy salesperson Legally Blonde?
Yeah, I come out on the second part of the group. I don't know anything about theater arts, but I know people that can sing and the people that can't. And
Courtney, take a break.
Yeah, the good singing's better. Like you go to, when was the last time you went to a play, Slee?
It's definitely been a few years.
Yeah, I haven't been in probably three or four myself.
I think I went to something after Book of Mormon.
Okay. But when you get somebody that can sing, it's an amazing, amazing experience to have somebody in there that just belts it out to the back where you're like, that is incredibly impressive. And then when you get the opposite of that, it's like, yeah, this is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. There's no middle to that, and that's not in the middle either. The Dump, Super Crosstalk, coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
We're comparing. Because for some reason, you know, I'm weird. Like, there's a guy on TV that looks to me like Lin-Manuel Miranda.
And it's Daniel Topper,
whatever. He's from the fantasy football
focus.
So then for some reason I'm like, you know, Michael Porter Jr. from the Nuggets. For some reason, is it Michael Porter Jr.?
Yeah.
For some reason, he reminds me of Evan Cohen.
That is like, unsportsmanlike in the morning.
I can see it.
I see.
They
look very alike.
You wouldn't think that they're brothers, but I can. Right. I can see it.
So I'm putting up the pictures just to see the comparison.
Evan Cohen has a better jumper.
By the way, you're playing one of my favorite games. I love finding somebody and finding the one thing that reminds me a little bit of something else.
Landon Knack, right?
Yeah.
Josh from social media.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Well, they got, Josh, don't take this the wrong way. They got that square head.
Yes.
Right? It's that
I saw Landon
square
Knack,
head
like, Josh,
thing.
What the hell are you doing pitching for the
like
lottery?
That. I like that. Some good birthdays today. The Rock turns 52. I'm 52. The Rock and I are basically the same.
I'm 40.
First thing you think of.
Why does he look like that, and why do I look like this if we're the same age? That's not right.
First thing you think of, Dwayne Johnson. What do you think of?
I think of just him. Like, I don't even think of a thing. I don't think of wrestling. I don't think of movies.
That's why I asked the question.
It's just, I think of the Rock is the Rock. He's just ubiquitous. He's everywhere. He's one of the few people that almost everybody has a positive association with. I don't know. There's a ton of people that are like, forget the Rock.
Me, the eyebrows, the raising of the eyebrow.
Oh, okay.
The
that was his wrestling
the
thing, right?
Yeah, the Rock is cooking.
The first thing I think of, I don't care what he does, and he's been so successful outside of WWE. I think of WWE.
You think of the wrestling?
Always, same. I think of the wrestling.
The first thing I saw The Rock in was that like Tooth Fairy kid movie where he played like he was a football player in the movie and he was like the stepdad to this girl and he's like also the Tooth Fairy. It's like a Disney movie. What's that called?
Not the nanny, but it's something
it
like
tooth
that.
Tooth Fairy, something like that. Yeah, he drives a van.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I saw The Rock in.
You're going to like this one, Jorge.
A ver.
David Beckham, 49 years old today. That's your guy.
That is my guy.
That's your guy.
Yeah,
and you met him.
He was a December guy.
Huh?
I thought he was a December guy.
Not according to this. He's having a birthday on May 2nd. Today's May
2nd. May 2nd, 1975. That was David Beckham's birthday.
Where was he just at?
David Robert Joseph Beckham, his full name.
It was Messi. Messi was
at what's his full star sign, Jorge, as you know everything about him.
Social security number. What do they have in England? Probably something similar, right? It's also the birthday of Pat McAfee, who turns 37 years old today.
He's only 37, huh?
McAfee's done pretty well for himself.
Looks like he's got a career in this biz.
Paul George probably not having as happy a birthday as he could have after he and his fellow Clipper James Harden's performance last night. I kept flipping over to it to see if it was getting close, and it never got close. The Mavericks just absolutely dominated. I flipped over his 28-point lead.
Yeah, it's done. Tomorrow, that's a wrap. You're going to have Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, all the Warrior players. None of them will be in the second round.
You didn't put Bradley Beal in the class with those other guys, did you?
Maybe Giannis and Dame, too.
Yeah.
Maybe Giannis and Dame as well.
They're 3-2, right? Going back to
Indiana.
Yeah, back to Indiana.
Yeah. Are they close? Are they coming back?
I put Bradley Beal there because he has a no-trade clause.
Yeah.
The only one.
How about that is so bizarre to me. That is so bizarre.
Like if the
one no trade clause was LeBron James or Steph Curry, okay, fine.
Sure.
It's Giannis, okay, fine. Beal? I guess it would have been the Wizards that signed off on that. I guess that's probably as good of an indictment of the Wizards as anything. Lindsay Lohan, Rachel McAdams are still open to making a sequel to Mean Girls, according to a source at People. John, you buy your tickets already?
Oh, I'm in no matter what. If Lindsay Lohan's in it, I'm there.
She was in the trailer for Walmart.
She's just misunderstood, Travis.
Well, mother. She had a baby.
Of course she is.
And she's been quiet in the good way for multiple years now. Maybe the comeback started.
I don't like it when she's quiet. I need her out there doing stuff.
You want her getting in
the
and out of limos?
Too is what I want.
That was, quite frankly, I've seen the canyons as well.
When was that? How long ago did that come
10
out?
Years?
That was her turn to the dark side.
Yeah, 10 years ago?
Yeah,
ish?
Probably.
Yeah.
Is that her lowest?
It's basically an X-rated movie.
Define lows.
Yeah, it was 2013.
Have you seen The Canyons?
Nah.
It's not for you. I don't think
it is definitely not for you.
You'll know me.
Her co-star in that movie is an adult film star. He's been in like 200 adult movies, and they just decided to turn left and let's go.
There we go.
So is it a post-apocalyptic? What's the...
No, it's a descent into her. It's oddly.
It's a murder mystery with a lot of porn.
Yeah,
it's on the Roku channel if you have a Roku for free.
It's
go on Rotten Tomatoes, and I'll be surprised, Em, if The Canyons has a user or a critic's rating above 15%.
Yeah, I agree.
So what's funny is they have a Metascore on IMDb, which is what I just looked up on, and it has a 36 out of 100.
That's better than I thought.
So, double what I would have guessed.
Is it on Rotten Tomatoes?
I'm looking it up. Okay. Right now.
You must have submitted your review, okay, John.
Okay. Hey guys, lock in. What is your Rotten Tomatoes score? Everyone, lock in. What do you think it is?
I'm gonna wait. Are we doing critic or fans?
Let's do. Fans.
Okay. Fans is going to be 90.
No.
22%.
No, fans is going to be higher than critics.
So audience
22%.
You're going 22. No, audience score is going to be about 38.
Okay, Al, what's your audience score for Canyons?
I'll go 35.
Mace, have you seen The Canyons with Lindsay Lohan?
No, I haven't. All right, well, I have. That's the one, the whole sexy
yes,
stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes is for The Canyons?
65%.
Okay. No way, not
so
that high.
So here is the audience score for Canyons. It is 15%.
15?
Wow.
I win.
The critic score is 21%.
So the critic score is higher than the audience score?
Is.
They respected the movie.
Here's the problem with that movie.
Audience
that even
not.
Somebody that is a Lindsay Lohan fan like I am, like
or
John
me.
Is, it's not good in any, like even the parts that are supposed to be sexy and titillating and hot, it's like just depressing.
Completely disagree.
It's just, oh, no. Look, John, I am on your team on this one. It is awful.
Team Lohan.
John traveling back and forth from Denver to LA kept watching that same movie.
No, it is so close to an X-rated movie. I would not be comfortable watching on a plane.
Oh, no way.
Right
no
now.
Way.
Although I got a great story about that. So I think I've told this. Mason's heard the story before, but Mason's heard all my stories before. So Stephon Marbury's playing for the Suns, and a friend of mine's in the travel party. And he says, right in the middle of a flight home, Stephon Marbury pops a DVD into his, you know, it was back when everybody watched stuff on computer on DVD, pops a DVD into his computer and start watching it, and it's a porno movie. And he's sitting on the aisle of a flight with flight attendants and, you know, female staffers. And so one of his teammates taps him on the shoulder and goes, "Steph, come on, man. We're on a flight. And you're watching that." And Marbury, without missing a beat, turns around and goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I have another one. Do you want to use it?" He didn't understand why he was being bothered, and he thought, "Oh, I'm not sharing." And then eventually he got the memo and closed the computer.
Yeah,
if you're on a flight and they have all the movies you could select from, and even if it's a movie that's, or you're watching a show or whatever it is, and even if it's got, it has nothing to do with, sex is not the foundation of it. When a sex scene comes on or something, it's the most uncomfortable thing.
It is, because you know everybody's watching you watch that.
Look to your left, to your right. I'm like, can I forward this thing?
No, I started the show.
Seth Marbury.
You probably watched it. I started the show Euphoria on a plane.
Okay.
Great show.
Wait a minute. This is the one where Sydney Sweeney gets naked fairly often,
and I
right?
realized very early, I cannot watch this on a plane.
So real quick before we go to the stagers, when I lived in Houston, my family was still living in L.A.
Okay.
So I was commuting back and forth for about 6 months.
Okay.
And I read books, but I didn't watch a movie. So at the time, the movie, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo had come out.
Oh, sure. Great movie.
Rooney Mara.
I was actually watching the Finnish one, the Swedish one,
the original one,
European one.
Oh, that's a great movie.
It's a terrific movie.
Is it racy?
There's one scene that's not only, it's brutally violent and there's a lot of nudity in this one scene. It's like a double whammy.
And you're watching like a DVD or something.
I'm watching a DVD and I'm sitting there on this flight, like with my laptop open, and this scene starts, and I immediately look to my left to see, by myself, I don't know the person to my left, it's this older lady, like senior citizen, who's sitting next to me, and I see her looking at my screen. She looks at me and goes, like, gives me this, I'm incredibly disappointed.
Not
and it's
which
not
is even
a
worse
dirty
than
movie.
Getting mad.
It's not a dirty movie. It just was a really, you know, the scene I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're saying.
And I almost felt the need to defend myself. Like, no, I'm not doing that. It's just you looked at the worst possible time. Very good movie.
Though. Yeah, very good movie.
Let's do a little super crosstalk. Bonk. Woo! Mace is headphone hunting. There's a sign on the door, Mace, that says if you need headphones, go see Bergman.
All right, so while Mace is looking for his headphones, Trav, I played golf this morning, and two things happened to me that have never happened to me before.
Okay.
And I doubt they'll ever happen again.
Oh.
And I went...
Hole in one?
Harder than a hole in one. So, I'm on a par 5.
you didn't.
I didn't. I did. Oh, okay. I did not do either one of these things.
Throw up the green.
And my friend Eric Johnson, who used to play tight end for the Niners, he's a really good player. Hits like Trev. You know, you get a friend that's just stupid long.
Sure.
That's him. You know, he's stupid. So he hits some 320 yard drive, and he's got 180 yards to the pin on a par five, and he hits the top of the green. The green's elevated. And he hit it right at the right spot, and the ball starts to roll down the hill, and it goes in.
Albatross.
Albatross. Two on a par five, which makes it harder to do than a hole in
one. Than a hole in one?
Yes. Nope. Significantly
I've never seen one, Trav. Have you?
In person?
Yes.
No, never.
Okay, me either.
So he drove the green and then putted.
No, he holed out his second shot on a par five.
180 out, he got in.
180 right in the hole.
Oh, impressive.
Two on a par five.
Yeah.
And my poor friend John Sachs, my buddy John Sachs, who's a shout out to him. He's a comedy agent at UTA. He represents all the SNL people.
Oh, yeah.
He has Bowen Yang and Sarah Sherman.
Cool.
And he has Jim Gaffigan, a bunch of great comedians. So poor John hits a really good drive and hits his second shot on the green. So he's on in two and drops an eagle. So, Trav, here are the two things that I've never seen before. And you tell me if you think I'll ever see him again. Number one is the albatross, the two on the par five.
Yeah.
Number two, watching one of my friends get an eagle and lose the hole. Johnson and I are teammates, and John Sachs and my friend Danny are teammates. So we win the hole on the two, and he eagles.
That's unreal.
Have you ever seen anyone eagle a hole and lose it?
Never.
Yeah.
Never. Wow. Never.
Hey, I don't think either one of those things will ever happen to me again.
And I've only seen an albatross on TV two or three times.
Right.
Right.
Unbelievable.
It just doesn't happen.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
It barely does.
I've been playing golf for 40 years, and I've never seen it.
Hey, what was your draft today? I did not hear your draft.
Refrigerator staples.
Yeah, by the way, all the stuff you guys picked, I don't have any of that. I don't have eggs or milk in my refrigerator.
You don't have eggs?
No.
You don't have eggs?
No.
Eggs.
You guys all have eggs?
We make hard-boiled eggs all the time.
Eggs is a number one pick. I go out.
Yeah. Out for eggs.
Yeah, eggs is Aaron Donald. In the mornings, I eat like just a little bit of food. Like I'll have a couple of bananas or I'll have some toast.
But it's not just eggs for
eggs.
But eggs go in a lot of other things. Eggs, like you say, a hard-boiled egg
hard-boiled
is a good little
egg.
Snack.
Good
There's
meal.
Breakfast foods. Like eggs go in eggs stuff. You bake with eggs.
Here's the weird thing. Slee, I've never, not only have I never heard of anyone doing it, I think it would be weird to put bread in the refrigerator.
Yeah, that is weird. You put bread in the refrigerator?
That's just a thing you've done since you were a kid.
No, okay, so that's what I say.
Did your family do it when you were little?
No, that's why I do it.
Okay.
I think it was just to preserve the bread longer. I think I'm.
Because if you want to do that, don't you freeze it?
Extending the life of the bread.
Yeah.
So because you if never you freeze it, it actually stays fresh when you thaw it out. It's like a fresh
loaf
of bread.
But I've never heard of anyone putting, I've heard of people putting it in the freezer. I've never heard of anyone putting it in the fridge.
Pita bread, tortillas.
Yeah. Not even tortillas.
Regular,
I keep tortillas
regular
in
bread,
the
everything's in there.
Now, do you guys ever get on a kick where it's like all of a sudden you're like drinking the same thing, eating the same thing every day for like, this is how I work. You get on a kick and then you eat it the same thing every day for a very long time.
I'm on one at
schnitzel.
The moment.
Okay. But I was on a schnitzel kick.
You
You're
can't
right,
get on
Jorge.
A schnitzel
oh,
kick.
Oh, I was, I.
Do you go to a schnitzel restaurant?
There's a
every
schnitzel
night?
Place up the street from me. I got onto a schnitzel kick.
Look, schnitzel's good, but
oh,
you can't
good.
Have it every day.
So my kick right now is the weirdest.
Was like a healthy thing that you're making
no,
every day.
No, here's the weird thing I'm hooked on right now. Fresca.
That grapefruit
Fresca,
soda?
The grapefruit soda is actually you know, delicious.
What do you think of
Caddyshack?
Caddyshack. Yeah. How about a Fresca? How about
a Fresca? Juan brought it home, and I was like, who drinks Fresca anymore? I had one, and I was like,
it's a diet drink, too, right?
It is. It's zero calories.
Yeah.
Tastes
yeah.
A
big thing with all the girls I went through in high school, and you guys are probably all too young
for all
it.
The girls
Tab.
You
Tab.
Went
remember
through.
Tab?
Tab.
Oh, yeah.
Tab tasted like a glass of chemicals.
Oh, that was awful.
And every girl I went to high school with drank Tab.
Yeah.
Tab, like, predated
Diet
Coke.
It was Diet Coke before Diet. It came in that
awful
pink
taste.
Can.
It tasted so saccharine-y or whatever
like
that
chemicals.
Was.
You guys ever remember Tang? Remember Tang?
Oh, Tang!
Tang was
the
astronauts drink.
Right, yeah. Right. If you wanted that, or
that was a good one, by the way. That was a big thing. The astronauts drink Tang.
Here's what's in Emily's fridge: eggs, cheese, and sparkling water.
Okay.
Okay. I don't want that fridge.
Okay. Jorge,
sparkling water is a
Jorge
key
went
one.
Heavy dairy. He went whole milk, yogurt, and burrito-sized tortillas.
Now, I always have yogurt.
I'm okay. So far, I'm going with Jorge's fridge.
Sleaze is bread, cold cuts,
that's
and fruit.
That's weird.
I actually, if he didn't have the bread, I'd be with Slee, but the bread's too weird.
Yeah, the bread is just nonsense.
Butter, beer, and ground beef.
like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I would take one from Jorge, one from Trav, one from Slee.
What do you want, my beer or my ground beef?
I want your beer.
Okay.
I want Slee's fruit, and I want Jorge's
tortillas. I want Emily's beer. I saw a picture of her fridge yesterday. 19. All she has in her fridge is beer.
That's regular Coors is your beer of choice?
Coors Banquet.
Or was that just happened to be in there that day?
I got it for a party. It was on sale, and then almost no one drank it at the party because almost all my friends are gluten-free. And so I just have so much Coors Banquet at my house. I also like it.
That beer comes with Camel Lights.
I like it too.
So
if I'm buying Coors, I'm buying Coors Light.
Coors Banquet is for my bang for buck.
Coors Banquet meaning?
That's what the yellow Coors is called. It's called Coors Banquet beer. That's what it's called. Original Coors.
Yeah.
Yellow Jackets. It has multiple names.
Right.
It is the best mass-produced American beer that you can find that's not like craft. It's just like, as far as the giant conglomerates, it is the best one you're going to find, in my opinion.
You think so, huh?
Yes, I do. Because it tastes like something. It tastes like beer. A lot of those other ones are, and I love Coors Light. I'm playing golf, we've got a bunch of Coors Lights in the basket of that golf cart.
But you know, I read an article today about beer, and one of the things it said was that the lower the temperature of the beer, the better it tastes. And there's like a scientific reason for this. And they said the optimal temperature for a beer is 45 degrees. Now, do you ever get one that cold?
Oh, I get them colder.
Colder than 45.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like they literally say the combination of flavors is better tasting.
Do you not, I know, like a cold,
Oh, a frosty beer is delicious.
Depends on what the beer is. A lighter beer, the colder, the better.
Yeah.
Right? A lager, the colder, the better. But if you're getting a Guinness, you don't want it ice cold.
No, I don't like Guinness.
I don't like dark beer.
Yeah, I don't like dark. I'm not a dark beer person.
Do you have a Kobe carpool story?
Oh, Kobe carpool story.
That's what Jorge was mentioning to us a little bit.
We were talking about traffic.
Kobe commented on you being in the...
So here's what happened.
Yeah.
One day we're doing the scrum in the locker room, and there's probably 20 people around Kobe's locker, and I'm right in the front.
This You're a sideline reporter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this was in the locker room after the game. And so Kobe gets out of the shower, and we're all waiting to talk to him, and he sits down, and he goes, hey, before we get going, and he looks right at me, he goes, John. He goes, yeah. He goes, I saw you today on the freeway. And I said, really? He goes, yeah, driving solo in the carpool lane. And I went, my son wasn't in the car? He wasn't. I was totally driving solo. He goes, nope. And he goes, you do that every day? I go, I do it when I'm late. And he goes, okay, good to know. And so he just completely threw me under the bus.
That's great.
So the scrum ends. And he goes, come here. He goes, you know how I knew you were doing it? Okay, he goes, I was right behind you solo in the car.
Yeah, but Kobe Bryant's not getting a ticket.
No.
Jim Hill was telling me a story about driving solo in the carpool lane.
Yeah, I heard this.
And he's like, he goes, just tell them that you were in the far left lane and all of a sudden you had to move out of the way real quickly to avoid hitting somebody and you moved into the carpool lane you were going to move back once there was an opening in traffic. And I go, have you done that? He goes, yeah, it works like that. I said, that's because you're Jim Hill.
Yeah, he's Jim Hill. Yeah. He can drive wherever he wants.
Exactly.
We don't have a Jim Hill.
I will say, I have received tickets in my past, but never for that.
Yeah.
And I do it a lot.
Do you drive in the carpool lane by yourself?
I've never done it once. Never do.
I've got the fast track thing. Merger.
I am an early merger, and I never drive in the carpool lane. Exactly right.
You're a courteous
I am courteous.
Driver. You're a very courteous man.
Yes.
No, except if you're an early merger, you just back everyone else up. You got to merge late.
Merge early. I don't want to get into it again.
He wasn't here.
I'm tired of winning this argument.
I'm with you. Once there's an opening, you got to move in.
Yeah,
if there's not an opening, though, you got to keep moving forward.
Correct.
You'll stop the whole line?
He will stop the whole line to merge early.
No, Frog is wrong.
Listen, at least he's early in this. A late merger, you're coming in right at
the very end.
There's an opening.
In.
You pull on. You merge onto the freeway.
Right.
And there's an opening. You still. Yeah.
No, I'll take it if it's there. Okay. But the discussion we were having was what happens if there's not an opening? Like,
oh, you got to move up till the end.
Well, he won't do that. He wants to go early.
I wish it's
never going away.
I wish that I could explain the exact scenario.
Well, go ahead. People at home can't see your diagram.
I'll show it on YouTube. At least I'll get you guys to understand it. This is like ridiculous to me. All right, so you're driving down the 10.
Yeah.
Here's the exit.
Okay.
Car, 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 all waiting to exit, right?
Okay.
Okay. What I don't like is the people that come in here and then swoop in at that's the very end. That's not fair. That's not fair at all.
I'm not all about fair.
Yeah, that's not fair.
I'm not all about fair. I'm all about getting
it's
where
a competition
I go.
For John Ireland on the freeway. Super Crosstalks brought to you by In-N-Out.
Excellent diagram, too. That's more radio diagrams coming up.
That's a circle and two lines. Yes. That's very well done. In-N-Out. That's what a hamburger is all about.